Well, even though I've come to expect the outcome here on those videos, I find myself laughing every time. You know, this has been a great series. We've been looking at some of the how-tos of the new year. In fact, we launched in the first week asking ourselves the question, how can we make sure that 2016 really counts? And we got some really practical insights on really investing in what lasts. And we took a look at the value of reading the Bible and how to, and we were given some reading plans and some tips on how to go about doing that, and that was really a big help as well. We looked at the how-to of our finances, and we're given some budget sheets. In fact, there's a class starting this afternoon, not too late to get there, 4 o'clock. It'll be in the South Fellowship Hall. That would be a great on-ramp to learn how to handle your finances just a little bit better. And we looked last week at how to handle temptation and saw some of the potential pitfalls as well as how to really navigate around some of those things that we've maybe been victim of over the years. But today we want to take a closer look at the idea of how to really hear from God. Now, if you're like me, and chances are you are maybe a little more like me than you care to admit, there have been those times in your life where you have maybe raised your head towards heaven and your hands towards God, and you said, God, I really need some input from you. I really need some direction in my confusion. I need some reassurance in some of my insecurity, and it sure would be nice to hear something from you. And as we've ended that kind of prayer, we've maybe sort of sat back and we've waited for some sort of audible voice from heaven. But truth be told, perhaps more often than not, what we experienced after having prayed that is silence of the airwaves. There was nothing. Now, we have to be careful there. If you've experienced that, hopefully you know that. We have to be careful that we don't conclude that somehow God doesn't speak today. In fact, the premise that I'd like to begin with here this morning is that God has spoken, God is speaking, God does speak, and perhaps the problem isn't with him and his communication, perhaps the problem is more with me. Is it possible that I have to be better tuned in to what he wants to communicate to me? Maybe the problem is with me. Let's see if we can picture it like this. Some of you will recognize that. It's not a snail, by the way. It's a rabbit ear antenna, right? And some of you have a background with that. I know we used something like that as a kid. There were days, some of you need to know this, there were days where we didn't have DirecTV and there wasn't the dish that pulled it all in or the cable that brought it all in. We had to kind of tune into the airwaves. And I can remember as a kid, if we got it locked in just right, let's see if we can get this up here. Had a little snafu, and it isn't uncommon if you, that's a pen taped to that, to heal it. You know, you did anything you could to be able to pull in the television sending. Well, at any rate, when I was a kid, you know, we would tune that thing around and twist it and turn it and try and get it right and maybe stand on one leg and hold our mouth just right. And if we did it, we could get 3, 5, and 8. And then if things were really good, you know, we got it tuned in just perfect and sort of squinted just a little bit, we could pull in channel 9 too. Now, for some of you, that's unthinkable. But the problem there was not really in whether a signal was being sent. The problem was in our ability to tune it in and receive it. Here's something then that I want all of us to consider this morning. Is it possible that in that perceived silence from heaven where maybe we have so often concluded God hasn't spoken, is it possible that instead of the problem lying with him and his communication, it's lied more with me and my ability to tune it in, to really listen to it, to really hear what he has to say? In fact, here's kind of a summary statement that I hope, in addition to the scriptures, that you can kind of take this thought home with you. I hope this is a take-home that you'll have today. It's this: I hear God's voice. Hopefully it's coming up here. I hear God's voice when, there it is, when I tune in my heart. God is speaking, and when my heart is in tune with him, I'm able to catch his voice. We saw the other side of that last week, didn't we? We were talking about temptation, and when we're tempted, it seems like we tune into those lusts and those desires and maybe Satan's voice even, when instead if we tune into the voice of God, we would make other decisions. And frankly, I'm guessing you're like me. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear the voice of God. That's the voice that I need to be tuned into. And while we're just here at the beginning clarifying some things, let's make sure that we understand that God doesn't primarily today rely on this audible voice method of communication. I'm not sure, but probably most of us here this morning didn't hear this voice that said, Steve, and said, yes, what is it today, Lord? It wasn't necessarily like that. And yet God was very clear in his communication today. How many of you saw the full moon last night or this morning? Oh, man, that was amazing. Well, scriptures tell us that the heavens declare the glory of God. With that, God was communicating, hey, I exist, I am powerful, and I'm glorious. How many of you had breakfast this morning? Yeah, hopefully, otherwise you're going to be grumbling a little bit here in a while. Maybe you'll discover who hasn't eaten breakfast as you start to hear some of those things. At any rate, that was God, the scriptures tell us, the Bible tells us that was God's provision. And through his provision, he's saying to us, I am a kind satisfier of your needs, and I want to give you joy in life. That's what Acts chapter 14 tells us. How many of you, maybe this week, you kind of had one of those pangs of, wow, I'm not sure I should do this? Probably most of us would have to raise our hand. Maybe you decided to just blow right past that warning. But that's God's built-in voice called our conscience, where God gives us a general sense of right and wrong. You see, God has many ways of communicating. It's not just the audible voice, but you know, his primary means of communication and his clearest means of communication today is found right here. In fact, you want to know what our church, what I personally believe about this book? It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's take a look at it on the screen here. All scripture is God-breathed. In other words, all of this from Genesis to Revelation comes from God and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, from Genesis to Revelation, this book is the perfect, personal, and practical word that God would want to express to you and to me. Anytime I open the Bible, I'm in a position where I potentially can hear his voice. That's what we need to learn this morning. But how we go about listening in, how we go about tuning it in, that's of special focus. So in order to understand that, why don't you take a Bible or take your app, your tablet, your cell phone, whatever it is you're using to access the Bible, and go with me to Luke chapter 8. You see, throughout the New Testament or throughout the Gospels, Jesus repeatedly comes back to this theme of the value of the Bible and woe to those who don't heed what it says and how those who are blessed who do listen in. In fact, in Luke chapter 8, we find one of those occasions where Jesus addresses that. Let me describe kind of the backdrop and the situation for us here. You see, Jesus had been traveling around the countryside. He had in tow with him the 12 disciples, men. He also had women who had been blessed and healed and experienced his encouragement. They were also tagging along. But we also read there in chapter 8 that there were large crowds who were gathering around. And so Jesus capitalized on that unique opportunity to say something particular to them. He shared with them a story that we today sometimes refer to as a parable. Now, we don't use that word often in everyday lingo. It's maybe somewhat of a church word, but just so you and I understand, a parable is a story that could very well have happened in the day, and yet it has a symbolic and eternal message to it. So let's take a look at this story, beginning in verse 5. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Now, Jesus hasn't explained the story yet, but you've caught the earthly story part. We haven't yet touched on its meaning, but we have the storyline here. In fact, we discover some important ingredients. There is a farmer here. There is a seed. There's soil, there are plants, and a crop. And probably there's enough farming and gardening experience represented in this room that most of us would understand and be able to answer this question. What is the purpose of us placing a seed into the soil? It's to produce a crop, right? In fact, some of you, you're going to do that long about May. You're going to be making sure that, a lot of corn gets into the ground. Others of you, you're just going to have the plot out back, and you're going to plant some tomato seeds, and you're going to be excited about the outcome. None of us is going to want to, let's say, along about July, August, September, none of us wants to go in the backyard and show the neighbor the plot that is overgrown with weeds, and we're not going to stand there proudly and say, you know what? I put 15 tomato seeds in that plot. I know you can't see it, but it doesn't matter. The joy was in planting the seeds. No, we're not going to be like that. Similarly, if you're farming many, many acres of corn, while you may experience joy in planting it, when it comes up, and I love that time of year when it's in tassel and you can smell the pollen in the air. I love that. Well, you're not going to, once it's in tassel, you're not going to take the combine out and mow everything down then, kind of saying, well, it was all about the tassel. That's the part that I really like. No, that would be very unproductive. You're going to have a lot of financial loss in doing that. No, you see, God's purpose, or our purpose, even in planting in this human story, is we want to see a crop form. And that's where Jesus heads. In fact, if we go on starting in verse 11, we discover some of the symbolic meaning to it. We read this. This is the meaning of the parable. So he's giving us the symbol behind it. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. In fact, if you were to read on, and we will here in a moment, he's comparing the different soil types with different people. In fact, he's comparing them to the human heart. So let's make sure we get our symbols down. The seed, well, it's God's word. This is the seed. And the soil, well, that's your heart and mine. And are you beginning to understand what God wants to accomplish? He wants to bring this in contact with this. Okay, not with my pumping aorta, ventricle, all of, you know, not the physical heart, but the essence of who I am. He wants to bring this in contact with my heart so that I'm transformed. He wants to do that right now during our teaching time. He wanted to do that early this morning, about 5:30, when I cracked open the book and I was spending time with Every Day with God in Proverbs, and then I also did some reading in 2 Samuel. God wanted to say, okay, Steve, I want your heart open so that you can receive this. He wants to do this tonight. I'm going to be in a grace group, and he wants to make sure that there, the Word of God really makes contact with who I am and begins to transform that. God's purpose is fruitfulness. So he takes the word and brings it in touch with us so that we might become more like Christ, so that we might show character traits like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, so that those are more and more who we are and how we live. He wants to bring the word of God in contact with us so that we are ultimately obedient to him, so that we have a passion for reaching our five, those people that we're praying that God brings to his son, Jesus Christ. God wants to do that. But as you can see from the different descriptions here, it's not a given that that automatically happens. You and I won't necessarily walk out of here transformed, even though the right elements were theoretically in place, the word of God was taught, and your heart was here. No, it's not a given. And so it's important that we understand four principles illustrated by these four soils that will help us to really tune in to what God wants to say. The first lesson comes from the hardened soil. Look at verse 12. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Okay, so at first glance, it seems like problem number one is the devil. You know, we can blame a lot on him, and he's worthy of a lot of blame, but be careful here. We become easy prey if our hearts are hardened to the point of the word of God doesn't even begin to penetrate it. Perhaps it's a part of our problem. So the first thing we need to do, if we are to be able to hear God's voice, we need to be able to cultivate an open heart. We need to be receptive to what God wants to say. You see, he's telling us that some people don't even have their antenna up. You know, the picture here with the antenna would be something like this. You know, the antenna's not even up. You came this morning, and it's kind of like, I come because I come. It's Sunday. Where else would I be? And yet, God, I really don't care to hear anything from you. Or you read in your Bible on a daily basis. Praise God if you do, but if you're just kind of, your eyes are hitting the words, but it's not going any deeper, you're kind of going through life with your antenna down. See, we need to cultivate an open heart. Now, with that open heart approach, we need to be careful and recognize that the Word of God in its writing, it was not, though it's eternal, and though we read earlier in 2 Timothy, it's for you and me and every one of us, we have to understand that it was written originally, for example, 1 Thessalonians, let's pull a book out of the air, was written, guess what? About 50 AD to people in Thessalonica. So I need to understand that there is a difference between the first recipient and where I stand in the progression, but it is still very much for me. And so having something like a study Bible can really be helpful to understand, okay, that's what was going on then, and here are the eternal principles that are applicable to me today. Cultivate an open heart. Study Bible might be a good help in moving beyond that. So that's the first key, receptivity. Expectancy. God, I want to hear from you. Kind of that prayer that Samuel had way back when. He said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Did you come with that kind of attitude today? But having that doesn't necessarily mean that fruitfulness is the result. Look at verse 13. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. You see, the rocky soil was shallow. Was it receptive to the Word of God? Well, yeah, I guess we'd have to answer, yeah, the Word of God penetrated it. But this represents the superficial heart. It could well be the person who this morning, you're locked into every word that I'm saying, which I applaud you if you are. You're listening and you're paying attention. Maybe you're taking prolific notes and you're saying, man, life is going to be different because of my contact with the Word of God. Maybe you even are going to post something to Facebook as a result of what you personally read in your own time with God this morning. You know, those are all expressions of initial joy. But the story ain't over yet. It says here that there was that for this person, this type of soil. You know, the plant came up, but then all of a sudden, because it didn't have any root, it sort of withered. And that's what can happen when challenges come our way. You see, the second principle we need to learn is really take time to listen. Take time to listen. Don't just listen casually and, you know, we forget about it then. And it's over. And we're distracted by something else, the worries of this life. Take time to listen. It's perhaps kind of like the person who came this morning and you know, your antenna is up and it's in tune and it's like, God, I'm taking all of this in. This is so good. But then we walk out of here and it's like that experience never happened. Put the antenna back down. After all, there might be lightning outside. I want to be careful not to get struck by lightning with my antenna. So we only lock in for a little bit of time. Take time to listen. There's nothing quite like Bible memorization that helps us to do that. There's nothing quite like meditation. Now, meditation, that word you have to be careful of. I recognize that. But really pondering, really spending time saying, okay, wow, what does that mean? Let me make sure I'm understanding that. Memorization helps me to take biblical truth and in the midst of adversity to be able to say, wait a minute, I'm not going to focus all of my attention on this. No, here's what God says about that. So cultivate an open heart. Take time to listen. Let's look at a third principle. Verse 14. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. So the soil with the weeds represents the preoccupied mind. Yeah, they hear the word of God, but that's not all that they tune into. It's like, yeah, I've got my antenna up and I'm hearing from God, but have you ever done this late at night? Have you ever decided, well, man, I've got to use something to stay awake. You've got maybe the windows down, you're drinking something cold or something hot, and you're just switching channels on the radio, trying to tune something else in. And so you tune one thing in, oh, okay, I'm going to try something else. You tune something else in, and you keep changing the channel. Well, it's kind of like what happens in life at times. Yeah, we walk out of here having locked into God, but then all of a sudden when we leave here, we're so much reminded of the anxieties of life, the worries that are still there. And so we focus on those. Or we begin to think, you know what, 2016, it's going to be the year when I hit it big. And so I'm thinking about, okay, I've got to do some overtime, and I've really got a plan for my new proposal of how this dream job and dream business is really going to make it. You see, the pressures and pleasures and treasures of life can distract us from the one voice that we ought to be hearing. So our third point is this. If we want to really hear from God, we need to eliminate the distractions. You ever... I don't listen to WQKT much. I guess I'm not a big country fan. How many WQKT people are here? No one will admit to it. It's not a Christian station, so we're not admitting it. We're in church here, right? Once in a while, I try to listen to Worcester basketball or one of the local sports teams play because Lisa's in Worcester High School. So we try and pull that in. But they'll say, you're locked in to sports country. And I'm like, wow, that's what we need to do. We need to lock in. Lock into the one voice that God wants to speak to me. Instead, what so often happens is, yeah, I lock in, but then I quickly change channels, and you know what I can do? And I have to admit, this hit me hard this week. I can lock into what God says, and then I go to bed at night, and I'm sitting there fretting and worrying because I'm locked in on the worry. God says, I don't want you to do that. It's the worries and the pleasures and the treasures, it's the pressures of life. It's going to choke out the seed. Don't be distracted. You need to maybe take some action. Well, that's very possible, but make sure that you're listening to him. Get rid of those competing voices. So we're cultivating an open heart. We're taking time to listen. We're eliminating the distractions. Now, let's look at the last helpful principle for listening to God's voice. Look at verse 15. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. You see, the good soil represents a willing heart. And notice the progression here. The person hears the word. In other words, he's receptive. He's cultivating an open heart. Okay, I'm open to hearing it. It goes on and it says here that he retains it. He's taking time to listen. It isn't quickly thrown out the window. It's not lost in the midst of the challenges of life. It says here that he perseveres. He eliminates the distractions. He's not going to allow himself to be caught on the pressures and the pleasures and the treasures of life. Instead, no, I want to hear from God. And the result is fruitfulness. In other words, if you and I are to truly hear the voice of God, we need to cooperate with what he says. Last important principle for us, cooperate with what he says. Now that speaks of obedience. That speaks of taking this message after I've tuned in, after I've prevented the distractions, and saying, I'm going to do something with this. God, I know that you want me to act on this. 2 Timothy 2 earlier talked about God using his word to rebuke, to correct us, to train us in righteousness, to prepare us for ministry. God wants us to do something with it. And that's obedience. That's submission. That's recognizing, God, you're in charge. I'm one of your servants, and I want to do what you say. Okay, now let's have a reality check. None of us always get all of this right, do we? Sometimes, well, the antenna's not even up. Sometimes we put it up and then bang, it's back down. And it's like, oh yeah, I forget what that pastor said this morning. I forget what I read this morning. I don't know what we did in my grace group tonight. All of those things can distract me. Or the antenna was up, but then it just got drowned out by so many other voices that we attempted to tune in. We don't always, all of us, get it right. Fact is, probably all of us have to admit that we've done things contrary to what God has in mind. You know, if I were to boil down one of the main messages that you'll pick up on as you read through the scriptures, one of the main things that God expresses with his voice through the Bible, it could be summarized with a few questions. Have you ever lied? I have. I'm admitting it. I'm guessing you have too. Have you ever had an angry thought towards someone else? It's like, well, that person cut me off, and well, I hate them. I wish they would get caught by the police. That's the one that I'm with, you know. Person zooms past, and it's like, yeah, I hope the highway patrol's up there and gets them. Wow, maybe I was too graphic there. Yeah, I've done that. You ever seen someone of the opposite sex, and maybe you spend a little bit too much time focusing and thinking, and that's not a good one? Well, those are 3 of 10 big commandments that God gives. And if you, whether in theory or in reality, raised your hand to any of those, you fall short just like I do. But one of the main things that God wants to communicate with his voice through the scriptures is the fact that he offers a remedy for my shortcomings, for your shortcomings, and that's why he sent the person of Jesus Christ into the world. The fact that I lie, that I lust, the fact that I sometimes have angry thoughts, that points to the fact that I am separated from God and deserve punishment. And yet God, in sending his son Jesus into the world, allowed him to take the punishment that I deserved. And the message of the Bible tells me, God's voice tells me, that to all who receive him, everybody that places faith, that comes to believe in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for you and because of your sin, everyone that does that becomes one of God's children, is brought into a relationship with him. Friend, perhaps that's where things need to start with you today. That's the beginning point. That's one of the primary messages. That's what I would say is one of the main voices of God that you're going to hear echo throughout the Old and New Testament. God wanting to connect with you so much that he sent his son. I wonder if today that's a description of what you need to do, of placing personal faith in Jesus. The response card was mentioned earlier. Let me encourage you to pull that out, if you would. I wonder if what I just described, that one message from God, is one that you're hearing for the first time, or maybe it's resonating with you for the first time in a unique way, and today is the day where you need to say, God, I believe that. I believe that I'm a sinner and that my only hope is found in the death of Jesus, that he took my place. If that's you, would you write the word believe in the little box of the response card? Or, you know, some of you started a couple weeks ago with this Bible reading plan, and it was kind of chugging along, but already you're discovering, man, I'm kind of losing steam on that. Or maybe already it's kind of become the, oh, yeah, really, the antenna's down. I'm going through the motions. Yeah, I could say that I read it, most of it anyway, but I'm really not intentionally trying to be in tune with that. Maybe you need to kickstart that one more time. In fact, if you go to our webpage, if you go to the Read the Bible under the Next Steps menu, you'll find some really good principles that will help you to draw out biblical truth, eternal truth, from your own personal reading. Let me encourage you to go there. In fact, if you friend me or already a friend with me on Facebook, I'll make sure that the link is up there this afternoon, or you can also catch it on our website. And finally, I've also experienced, and I've tried to illustrate it throughout our study today, I've experienced the benefit of being in a group. When I'm together with others in a group and we're studying the Bible, somehow the accountability has been raised significantly. I wonder if you're not in a group, why not? Why not today say, yeah, I want to be in one? It can be as simple as going right out the back doors here. There's a Next Steps kiosk, a couple of computers on a little round table like this with black down the sides. And someone there can help you to get signed up for a group. Check out the options of what's available. You see, God really does speak. He wants your life to be transformed. He wants to bring this in contact with this so that you bear fruit, so that your life is different, so that you are transformed more and more into the image of Jesus Christ, becoming more like him. That's what God is up to. And the key question is, are you tuned in? Why don't you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we're grateful that today we have come to understand that you are still speaking. In fact, you're communicating. Any time that we have a Bible open, or any time that we're looking at creation, or any time that we reflect on your provisions in our lives. And Lord, it's our prayer that we would approach those times, especially in your word, soberly and attentively. We pray that our lives would be transformed as a result, more pleasing to you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.